Mina Kimes, Emily Kaplan, Israel Gutierrez, Monica McNutt. You're dead to me. Phrasing, sorry, not you guys. Saquon, dead to Tiki. Free agency negotiating day two, and the headline, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. Wow. And also, Wembanyama postered. But nobody posters anymore, so it's more like cell phone background wallpaper. Let's go around the horn.
Dark posters again, I think.
There you go, Tony. Story or infamy?
Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens, a move you could just see happening, officially unofficial, but will happen when it can happen. Just imagine lining up on the other side of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Like, you want to be cut by Hattori Hanzo's sword or Thor's hammer? What do you want? Also moves today, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, Patrick Queen to the Steelers, Shaq Barrett to the Dolphins. Mina Kimes, big winner so far in our legal tampering window. Because remember, free agency doesn't start until tomorrow. But who's the big winner today?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest spender doesn't always equate to the biggest winner, but it's hard not to go with Atlanta signing Kirk Cousins to be their quarterback of the future because it immediately vaults them into playoff contention. They are correctly now the favorites to win the very winnable NFC South. There's a bit of risk. It is, you know, a 36-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles injury, but he was by far the best option. He was an excellent fit for what they want to do on offense with a new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, who comes from the same McVay tree that Kirk's previous head coach, Kevin O'Connell, comes from. And their skill players will no doubt benefit from Kirk's prowess throwing over the middle of the field. So I really like the fit. As far as losers, to me, the obvious answer here is Carolina, trading away Brian Burns for a pittance, a second round and a fifth, especially when you consider the fact that not that long ago they had multiple firsts on the table. To me, it's not just the return being significant for a 26-year-old pass rusher who's one of the NFL's best. It's the fact that this Carolina roster now has really very little to build around. They are barren. And when you look at a rebuild, you want to hold on to players like Brian Burns because those are the players you hope those draft picks turn into. I don't understand this move at all from
Emily Kaplan. Day before free agency. You have a winner, you have a not so winner.
There's one person that I think is massively the loser, actually, and it's Justin Fields. And it's because, as Mina just pointed out, the Atlanta Falcons, who he could have gone to, chose to pay a 36-year-old $100 million in guaranteed money despite coming off an Achilles tear. And, you know, I live in Chicago, and I just feel like his characteristics so much fit the ethos of this city. He's humble. He's tough. But it's so clear they want to move on. And any of the teams he could have moved on to picked to spend more money on veterans despite the fact that he makes only $2.7 million this year. So now he's in this weird purgatory where they're going to draft Caleb Williams and maybe he just sticks around in training camp and waits for someone else to get injured to be their backup. And to me, that is a loser.
This is interesting to me because Mina just said Cousins was the best available of the free agents. But is a 36-year-old Cousins at the money he was paid better than a 26-year-old Fields via trade would be a question I would pose. But we'll go to Israel Gutierrez first.
Well, there's a couple of winners, and I thought they were team-related, but also specifically to players. I thought Jordan Love and the Packers really benefited. They got younger. They were already the youngest team in the league last year and sort of ahead of the game, if you will, ahead of their own clock. And they got younger. They got Josh Jacobs in there instead of Jones. And they just feel like they're, again, ahead of the clock, but still finding a way to stay younger and stay relevant for the long term. And I think Max Crosby and the Raiders, because of Christian Wilkins, and I know it makes me very sad to see him leave the Dolphins, but he was at times an explosive defensive lineman for the Dolphins, probably their best defensive lineman for the course of the year. And the idea of Max Crosby and Wilkins on the same line, and if you saw a Hard Knocks in season, you saw how much the Dolphins loved Max Crosby. And I thought in the long term, hey, maybe that means Max Crosby to come to Miami. Instead, it went the opposite way, and they took Miami's best defensive lineman. So I'd say those two are a couple of
winners. And Monica McNutt.
All right, so hear me out. I totally agree with Mina in that you like that Kirk Cousins. Finding a way to another bag is really the winner in this. But just go with me here, guys. Russell Wilson does okay. Like, he lands in a spot where he's going to have an opportunity to probably play and help this team. You talk about a guy who's known for his culture and an organization known for their culture. It could be worse for him. So I think that's one to keep an eye on. And then for me, just in terms of, I don't know if I want to call them losers yet. They haven't done anything exciting, but, like, What's going on in Washington? Like, I'm just, Austin Eckler, cool, but like, he's later in his career.
Well, they've signed half the Cowboys, I think, right? And the Cowboys have only basically signed a long snapper. So, Mina, back to you on Kirk Cousins versus Justin Fields, if it could be that equation, even though I know it's not exactly that.
Yeah, we're learning a lot about how the league views Justin Fields. To me, like Kirk Cousins versus Justin Fields, everybody would agree Cousins has been the better quarterback, the more consistent quarterback. But when you see a team like the Raiders signing Gardner Minshew to a two-year deal, about $15 million or so guaranteed, that's where I get confused. Like, why wouldn't they trade for Justin Fields? There is obviously some, I think, concern about the fact that when you trade for him, you're likely to have to make a decision about the fifth-year option. So he does cost more money because of that. It's over $20 million. Dollars, but the upside there to me is so much greater than the likes of a Minshew. I don't understand.
But
that
even
at all.
Atlanta specifically, Cousins at 36 coming off an Achilles versus Fields at 26 on a different pay scale.
I think it tells us something about the kind of offense that Atlanta wants to run. You know, I mentioned that they hired Zach Robinson from the Rams. That's not really as good a fit for Fields as it is for Cousins. So to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Derrick Henry doesn't get a rise out of anybody here today. Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson in the same backfield, so to speak?
Gary.
Please, Gutierrez, tell me what the Ravens just did.
No, I mean, the Ravens made themselves a nightmare on the goal line. Like, which one are you going to defend? The best, the most lethal quarterback at that position, or with the ball in his hands running the rock, or Derrick Henry? It just sort of gives them a lot of options by the goal line. And if I could sort of combine thoughts here from Monica and Mina, when it comes to the Steelers and Russell Wilson, I do agree with Monica there. But that's the team that I wonder, why didn't they go after Justin Fields? Why didn't they just sort of divvy up and give some draft picks away, maybe a player?
Yes, but we're talking about Derrick Henry. Please, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. Better duo that just came together, Mina Kimes.
I would go with Lamar and Henry just because of Lamar, honestly. And also Henry in that situation, it's an excellent place for a running back, not just because of Lamar, the offensive line, although they had some guys walk out the door. Running backs do tend to prosper there. And I think the combination of him and Keaton Mitchell, you shouldn't forget about that explosive young rookie coming back from injury, will be a really nice pairing.
Running back movement over the last 2 days. Something I want to get your take on. Saquon Barkley went to the Eagles. It led Tiki Barber, former Giant great and current WFAN radio broadcaster, saying, "You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck out there. You're dead to me." Barkley LOL'd that, not out loud, but in social media form. At the same time, Aaron Jones was cut by Green Bay. The reporting looked as if he'd take a pay cut, but no, he was cut, flat out. Ryan Grant, former Packers running back, posting that the idea of loyalty is a thing that doesn't exist in the NFL. It's absurd, LOL. Again, not out loud exactly, but over social media. Similar situation for Joe Mixon, traded today by Cincinnati to Houston. Last year, he took less money to stay with the Bengals. Now he was sent to a new team as the league year begins. Israel, on money, loyalty, cuts, and moving. How do you review it all at the running back position?
Well, I don't think this is some sort of new philosophy on running backs based on last year that all of a sudden we're going to pay the running backs. This is more of just the salary cap going up and them being available to receive some of this money. But I do think the Saquon Barkley and the Tiki Barber thing is laughable. It sort of goes to show you that even if you played the game, our perspective might not be real because, you know, back in Tiki Barber's day, they valued running backs a lot more. And he just watched. He just saw Saquon Barkley get treated the way he was treated by a team. And he goes, gets a bag for 3 years, and all of a sudden he is dead to him. Like, what does that even matter, first of all? And the thick green line that he put down that he supposedly crossed, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I don't even think of the Eagles as the Giants' main rivals. So to me, Saquon Barkley better off getting away from all
Emily
of
Kaplan.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, all we've been talking about is this long, slow death march that the running backs have been on. And right now we're seeing a little bit of a reprieve, like Izzy said, because the salary cap is boosted. But at the same time, their salaries have been largely stagnant. I feel like this is also a byproduct of this 24 running back class just being weak. So that's why a lot of these guys are getting paid. And the biggest thing is that they're getting paid in not the markets that they wanted to, right? Saquon wanted to stay with the Giants. They just didn't really, they toyed around with him. Aaron Jones wanted to stay with the Packers. They just chose to go younger and with somebody else. As it pertains to Tiki Barber, part of me wants to feel like this is the old, disembattled, like, running back who retired 1 year before the Giants won a Super Bowl and therefore is bitter towards the young guy. But we have to take Tiki Barber for what he is. He's a sports media guy giving a sports media hot take on radio. And that's why you kind of can just roll your eyes at it. And I understand why Saquon's upset, because, again, the Giants toyed around with him. He got much more guaranteed money with the Eagles.
In Tiki's defense, he was laughing. You know, I think he was kind of joking about it. Maybe there's some bad blood from previous takes there. I will say this about the running backs and the contracts that we're seeing. A couple takeaways for me. One, money is fake. I mean, pardon me, money is fake. These contracts are largely fake. I think the fact that we're seeing so much mobility is a reminder that you have to look at the guarantees. I look at a deal like the one that Green Bay gave to Josh Jacobs. It comes in 4 years, $48 million. It's a one-year deal, and that's partially why we're seeing all this mobility, because all these teams were able to get off these contracts. The other thing is, I think fit seems to matter more to these teams than just taking the best running back available. I think it's why you're seeing a lot of these backs find new homes. It's why I love Derrick Henry with the Ravens. It's just a really good fit, and sometimes a running back might be more valuable to a different team because of that
fit. Monica McNutt, your read on it?
Money, I don't know that is fake. I understand the contracts, as Mina just so eloquently explained.
Yeah, but you're fired as our agent. That's
fake.
What you are.
Loyalty is absolutely fake. And I think when we look across sports, these guys have to do what they believe is best for them. As far as Tiki and Saquon in particular, he played in a different era, high value of running backs. He's now a broadcaster in a different era where these guys hear everything. I don't know how deep this goes. I'm not super mad at him, but I didn't love
it. Real last word after the horn.
It's birds that are fake, not money. But no, Tiki, I know he was laughing, but he is like that kid in an argument that goes too far and like insults your mother and then says, oh no, you weren't supposed to take it that way. Oh, don't be like that. Come on, he went too far. This comment is nonsense.
Maybe it's greener pastures for Saquon after, in Philly, greener pastures after the way the Giants handle it. Though, he got paid by Philadelphia basically the same money Darnell Mooney got from Atlanta to play wide receiver 3 for them? We'll take a break here. Buy or sell next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Buy or sell one, Matt Rempe on Jonas Siegenthaler. The Devils want a suspension. Was a game misconduct. Rempe's second versus Jersey in his 10 career games total. He had a phone hearing upcoming with the NHL. Emily, buy or sell suspension worthy?
Yeah, this is a 1-2 game suspension to me. You can't extend your elbow like that. But when he's waving goodbye, that irked off Curtis McDermott, who ironically I feel was acquired by the Devils because they didn't have an answer to Matt Rempe when he had a clean hit on Nathan Bastian a couple weeks ago. So the challenge for this kid who's a Colts hero now is, how do you stay effective but stay available on the ice? How do you toe that line? Because he's trying to make the playoff roster, so he's got to figure that out quick.
But you're seeing an arms race and an elbows race among teams now trying to match up with Rempe as the Rangers have added him. Israel Gutierrez.
They were chasing him all night.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a suspendable offense here. Only 10 games, and he's already got a history, so they probably go a little harsher on it because you could almost see this coming. And he is toeing the line there, like Emily said. Can he be the tough guy? Can he be a bad guy? Or can he come into the league and just immediately be hated because he's crossing the line too soon? The elbow to the face, kind of a bad sign.
Monica, is this a suspension-worthy hit?
I mean, yeah, the NHL is sensitive about the head clipping stuff, but also he's very beloved by his teammates. He's got this reputation as an enforcer. Like, I think you roll with the suspensions, it adds to the lore. The Garden has chanted his name plenty of times. So they're in on this guy, it seems like. And this just seems like a little too
far. Well, follow-up question, Monica. Do you see a distinction between the fights and an illegal hit like this?
I do see a distinction, but I also think when you've got a guy that's looking for fights, like, that line to me is blurry. And I get NHL is filled with all these unwritten rules and we should say head, neck, and shoulder, that kind of thing. But, like, if he's the guy that has played as many minutes as he has penalty minutes, like, he's not afraid of contact. We know that.
Yeah, I think this kind of captures how precarious that line we're talking about is when it comes to sanctioned violence in hockey, because on one hand, everybody loves it. He's becoming a cult hero. And then on the other hand, the second he crosses the line, he becomes actually a risk and a bad use of roster for this team, which is, by the way, why hockey had been on the decline, or pardon me, fighting had been on the decline in the first place. The teams didn't want to spend roster spots on enforcers as the game got faster and more skilled.
Buy or sell two, stay in New York. Aaron Judge, an MRI on his abs. How often do you hear that? Came back clean. Gerrit Cole, MRI on his elbow. No report yet on that. Boone says more tests are coming in the next few days. Opening day, 19 days away. Israel, buy or sell panic for the Yankees even before the season.
Well, if you're going to pick two people to choose to create panic, it's probably going to be Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. Yeah. I'm not too concerned. One, Aaron Judge said the MRI was clean, said it might not be a huge issue. He's still dealing with his toe thing as well, so he's probably not going to be 100% all season long, but this abdomen thing doesn't seem that...
Well, if he's not 100% all season long, is that not something to panic about, Israel?
I mean, you know, 90% of Aaron Judge is better than most. The other part about Gerrit Cole, though, with his injury, if it is more serious, Blake Snell's out there available. There are other pitchers out there available that they can still sign to replace him if they find out that it's a serious long-term.
Monica McNutt?
Don't penalize me for this, Tony, but New York is already on edge over injuries. Check out the Knicks. I know that's split when it comes to baseball and the other team in town, but injuries are a big deal. It's okay to panic. Start doing your breathing exercises now. This is a big deal.
Aaron Judge is in year two of a 9-year, $360 million deal.
That money isn't fake.
He missed 2 months. He's 31 years old. Of course I'd be concerned. This deal was already risky, and increasingly it looks like it might have been too much, though.
And Emily Kaplan.
I'm going to give Monica some reprieve here. I'm going to compare it to my sport with a lot of unwritten rules. The rules are very clear in baseball, especially with a team like the Yankees. If you spend this money on these two guys, you need them available. And without them, like, they're a very mid-team, maybe no better than the Red Sox. So it's just the murkiness of both of these timelines that would give
if
me a lot of pause.
If there is another Cy Young pitcher still available, do you not just replace one Cy Young with a different Cy Young if he's going to be out for a while? That seems something a team like the Yankees could do. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. Trace Jackson Davis on Victor Wembanyama.
Trace Jackson Davis. Oh! He put the entire country of France in the basket.
Monica, I want a grade for the poster, Jackson Davis, and a grade for the postie, Wembanyama, and a grade for the commentary there.
So, Trace Jackson Jr. definitely gets an A. He did that on the guy that's leading the league in blocks, never mind the fact that he's an enormous seven-footer and doing things that we have not ever seen before. So that's a big deal. Also, I think the bigger thing here is the Warriors finding some real energy and trust with their young players. Jackson Davis, Kuminga, Brandon Podziemski. I think Wemby will be okay, though.
Times?
I'll give the poster an A. He kind of held his opposite hand. Wemby hand-checked him on the way there. But, you know, he's Wemby. He's gigantic. It's obviously an achievement to tackle him. As far as the call, maybe a B? I don't know. I would have gone with A's French toast when he got him. Someone can use that later.
Emily Kaplan.
Trey Bien, Mina. I felt like Wemby got dunked on harder by the announcer than the actual play. Like, evoking the entire country of France was a little dramatic. But I love how understated Wemby was after the game. He's like, look, you're going to get dunked on in this game, and I make a lot more blocks in those situations than this situation.
I absolutely love hearing that from him. And Israel Gutierrez.
Merci beaucoup.
I initially downgraded it to an A because, as Mina said, he was assisted by the offhand. However, it's Victor Wembanyama. This may never happen again. It's absolutely an A+. Trace Jackson Davis. That is probably the greatest poster of the year.
It is. Israel Gutierrez and Monica McNutt. What you just don't know is that sweater is not just blue, Monica. It's not just turquoise. It's not just Lapis. It's actually Cerulean. Cerulean. Showdown next. Kynes. Kaplan.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dome for Nikola Jokic last night, and a comeback win for the Nuggets. But check out this moment. This was spurring the comeback. Close out-of-bounds call on the sideline goes the Raptors' way. Jokic looks like he needs to tie his shoes very urgently, giving his bench more time to look at the replay and then review it. It's possible his shoes didn't even need to be tied, but that's what he did. He's done this before. Did this with against the Celtics similarly. So both times, the calls worked for the Nuggets. Mina, you're going to tell us this is fair or foul?
I think it's fair. Hate the game, not the player. I will say this is the most he has ever lived up to his nickname of the Joker. But I think moving forward, given that he's done it twice in 4 days, they might want to crack down.
Emily Kaplan?
Oh, sorry. I thought I could buy myself some more time until my joke writers back there could think of something quippy to say.
Yes,
I think it's fair. 12 out of 10. Well executed. No notes.
So we have a French toast joke earlier in the show, and we have this one right here from Kaplan. We'll give her the point. We'll move on. Novak Djokovic losing at the BNP Paribas Open. Round of 32. Who did he lose to? Luca Nardi, number 123 in the world. He was the lucky loser into the tournament. And the details here are insane. Djokovic had won 1,095 single matches in his career. Nardi had won four. Djokovic has 24 Grand Slam titles. Nardi never qualified. Nardi grew up with Djokovic's poster on his bedroom wall, which previously I said nobody has a poster anymore. Clearly somebody does. The crowd was cheering Luka at the end. Emily, was this more about Djokovic or Nardi?
All right, you already gave me the cheese, so I'm going to say I feel like the lucky loser sometimes when I get to share the screen with Mina Kimes. This was all about Nardi, though. I mean, he didn't even know the rest of the draw. That's how focused he was on this match, just as I'm so focused on trying to beat Mina.
I'm going to go with Djokovic because I am officially concerned, not just because it's been months since he won, he hasn't won a title, or the fact that this is the first time in 6 years he's lost to an opponent outside the top 50, but he didn't make him work when you watched. He just didn't look like himself.
You think this is a concerning loss for Djokovic? Interesting.
100%.
Concerning loss maybe for Kimes. Kaplan takes the crown.
Let's go. So it's just the NHL trade deadline, and the Vegas Golden Knights, surprise, surprise, have figured out a way to game the system in the NHL. Here's how they do it. It's not putting their captain on LTIR so they can spend his cap space. In the spring, they become buyers when other teams feel depressed on their assets and are willing to retain money. And then over the summer, they just make unemotional moves and they trade away players, and it's fine. You live like there's no tomorrow. That's the Vegas ethos, and that's when they won their Stanley Cup in 5 years of existence.
Live like there's no tomorrow. Money is fake as well. These are things I learned on today's program. That's it. 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow.